Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Yo, what's going on out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world? Welcome on and back again, once again, to the Sports Buffoon Studios here out of Lenexa, Kansas. That's right, baby. We are back. And it is a wonderful week to be here because Chiefs finally got a win under their belt. So we're a little excited, right?
We looked better.
A little better.
I mean, there's still opportunities, but we'll talk about it later. Yeah, but we got the dub, though. That's a big thing.
That's what matters the most. But, guys, the good news is we with the full clan. We got Jason JG to my left, Tanner Dawson to my right. I'm Mike Settle. What's up, fellas?
Yeah, I'm drinking some whiskey right now that was offered to me like 4.5 minutes ago. And it was falsely advertised to me as bourbon, although it was not actually made in Kentucky.
It is a bourbon.
I tried it, and it was probably like one of the worst bourbons I've ever had. But lucky for you guys, I turned it into old fashioned. I put some simple syrup in there, some bitters.
This is a rare bottle orange in the States now. Okay. Rare bottle right now. They only released 80 of them.
So my point is
probably release 80 and that'd be it. It'll just be done and release it.
My point is if you guys ever have an asshole friend like this guy over here that gives you a shitty ass bourbon.
Strength.
The cure is simple
cast
syrup.
Strength.
The cure is simple syrup and some bitters.
Cast strength here. 115 right. Proof, dude.
Turn it into an old fashioned. That's the cure. That's my whole point. If you have an asshole like this that gives you a shitball bourbon, turn it into old fashioned. It'll be the best drink you've ever had in your life.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm not super impressed with it myself.
Is it the cask part that's strength that's bothering you?
We went to the whiskey bar in Weston. And I loved my cast strength bourbons I had out there. Those were delicious.
Is it just the off? Off to you or what?
Might be the acid reflux that both of us. We both have fucking acid reflux right now.
Nail polish remover.
I did
that's
have it.
That's neither here nor there.
I did have a taste, but it grew on me during my tasting.
So nail polish remover grew on you?
Yes,
because that's exactly what it smells like, and it doesn't taste much better than that either. So, but I appreciate the effort, Tanner. So I appreciate that. You know, let us give that a shot. I would put this one back behind me here for the show because it's probably not going to make it into my mouth any longer.
Give it to your worst enemy that you've ever met.
I have an interesting one right here, you guys. I've not even opened this bottle yet. It's called Genro flavored.
Strawberry.
I don't know, but it's import. It's an import of some kind. It's clear. So in this green bottle, I'm gonna try it out right now. It's supposed to be strawberry flavored, but it's got some, is that Japanese writing on there?
Yeah, it's probably got fentanyl in there.
Let's give it a shot.
How's that fentanyl taste there, Mike?
Oh, that's actually delicious.
Oh,
that's amazing.
They don't do stuff.
So this says it's 13% alcohol. Holy shit. This is good. That's serious. This is your new favorite
thing.
That's
since 1924, too.
It is actually a product of South Korea. So here we are.
I would
that's delicious.
I would have you
probably gluten free.
I would have you pour me a glass, except you had COVID. Sup, what Hunter, like you had COVID a week ago, right?
Except Brady.
I don't remember the COVID.
Yeah, thing. Like a week ago you had COVID.
Maybe
so I don't want Let's you to pour Penn me State. A glass, but Let's maybe you can Penn buy me State. Another one of those one of these days.
Well, $7 for a bottle. $7 for a bottle of Genro, but it is from South Korea right. And it's probably gluten free, but it's really good. So Tanner, what you got?
Well, I'm the asshole that brought
same...
the Lira Stellum single bourbon barrel cask strength straight bourbon whiskey, 115.78 proof.
Big surprise. He has the same shitty ass bourbon whiskey that the other two.
I enjoy it because it gives me the burn going down. It's a nice little sip, nice little drink. It's perfect. It's perfect for me.
There you go, Tanner. I'm glad you like it.
I do want to shout out my guys back in the chat here. Hunter, Tad, Braden. Missed you guys too.
Did they hit it and quit it? Because we had a few listeners that are already and now they're already gone.
They just came in, say hi. They're big Penn State guys. They showed me a few videos. Big Penn State fans.
Oh, I know what I mean. Is like what does that have to do with anything?
They're from my fantasy football show.
Oh, interesting.
They were on a bunch. We talked Penn State. They hopped on Tractor with me. So just shout out to my guys.
All right. Well, I'm glad they're on here joining for at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, today is going to be talking a lot about some Chiefs topics, of course. And I have a topic in general, you guys. I mean, this NFL season so far has been very, very sloppy. And it's something I've picked up on. I think a lot of people have noticed so far. There's a lot of ugliness right now.
I've got something to bring into that too, by the way. That kind of relates back into that sloppiness.
We're going to hit on that here in a few minutes, as well as, of course, to cap it all off with you guys, our easy money picks of the week, which we're sitting fat and happy right now with a 70% win total as a group for you guys out there.
Spoiler alert, 70% right now.
All 30% of the losses came from Tanner.
And I got him on fantasy team.
30%. I'm looking forward to giving our next easy money pick of the week here.
You lost. Mike and I are 100%, and then you lost all of yours.
I am 100%.
You're not 100%. You lost the Chiefs bet, the very first overall bet that you had out there.
I was joking around. That wasn't like,
get it straight. But you are higher than me in percentage. So,
all right, guys, let's jump right into it now. Talk about that again. Okay. Well,
let's jump right into it now.
Let's talk about some Chiefs for a few. So obviously, you guys, we got back on the win streak, or beginning of a win streak, I should say. Let's hope that is the case against the Jaguars. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed with the way the defense played against Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars offense. I mean, it was badass. The pass rush was there all the entire way. I mean, really, it felt like the defense was in full control the entire game. And the only reason the defense might have even given up points at all in that game was because of the offense just
the turnovers.
Kind of turnovers.
I don't know. The thing I heard this morning on a particular show was the Chiefs defense is spotty. And so they're spotty. They're kind of holding back against the offense. They're spotty the last 2 weeks. Whatever the hell that means.
Well, yeah, they were spotty without Chris Jones in the first game.
They were not
game.
Spotty, dude.
Whatever you want to say.
14 freaking points without Chris Jones, and then you go in and three field goals.
I don't know, man. I don't see spotty by any means. Like you said, there's two touchdowns in the last 2 weeks total. If you combine both the Lions and the Jaguars, and now also the offense has been putting the defense in bad positions so far this season. So, I mean, in my opinion, we're walking into a season where we might finally get a Chiefs defense that's going to be top 10 the entire season.
I'm about to say, isn't it weird that we're not calling for Spags head? Isn't it weird that the offense is the one slowing us down right now?
Of course it's weird.
So weird.
I mean, it's frustrating, but it's weird. And the thing is, we still have another defender to come join the team here in about a month as well. So Charles Amenhue will be a part of this pass rush.
They're not even fully loaded yet.
Right. So that's what I mean. Like this whole thing is going to be crazy here in about a month from now if this can stay on the same path, because we're mixing and matching a lot. If you've noticed watching the game so far on defense, guys are everywhere. I mean, you don't know who's lining up where.
Chris Jones on the outside. Any given play. Who's on the inside. Who's on the other side.
I saw a lot of Drew Tranquil this last week, along with Leo Chenault playing the full game. And Nick Bolton actually sat some plays out that I saw.
Before
he
got hurt.
Before he got hurt. I mean, when he was still fully healthy. Just taking some plays off on certain situations that were coming up. Spags is dialing up some crazy stuff right now.
The depth,
and I'm enjoying it.
The depth is there for this kind of thing for Spags. Like this is, if there's anything of a Spags defense, this is set up for a Spags style.
This is not normal. Normally, we're used to Spags defenses having a slow growth process throughout the course of the season, and then finally towards the back end of the year, firing off and going crazy. Where like right now, we're seeing is like right off the gate from the very beginning. With or without Chris Jones, because week one, they looked really good, too.
Two good teams.
Now with Chris Jones, I mean, went out there and shut down a really good offense of the Jaguars, who's loaded with Calvin Ridley and ETN and Lawrence, and they got a lot of weapons over there. But yet, the Chiefs did their damn job.
Well, it was a lot scarier having Chris Jones there, because now you had a front half push, be able to get in the backfield.
A lot of it's the emergence and growth of George Karlaftis.
Yes.
I mean, that guy's really coming into his own. I'm so happy that we took a chance on a guy like that, and you guys know how pissed off I was at the time.
You did not like that pick. Well, you still didn't like it throughout the year.
Here's the deal, and you guys know this. My reasoning behind not liking the pick of George to begin with was that I felt like we needed a pass rusher that could be an immediate contributor that season, and I saw Karlaftis as a project, and he was a project, you guys. He was a project. It took time to develop over the course of the year. He was not great in the beginning of the season. And over the course of the season, ended up having a decent back half of the season. But what ended up happening anyways was that we won the Super Bowl regardless of that. And so to me at this point, now it's all gravy. To me at this point, it's like, great. I mean, we won it. We won anyway, because I didn't think we could.
Right.
Without having a certified, bona fide outside pass rusher. And I wanted an immediate contributor. He wasn't going to be that. Well, like I said, we won anyway. And now we're going to be getting some benefits from that for the years coming forward. So anyways, I love watching this thing unfold. And the cornerbacks look amazing. Trent McDuffie looks amazing. L'Jarius Sneed was targeted a few times, but I mean, he's still a baller. So who cares, you know? Yeah, Jason, what are your thoughts on what we just watched this past weekend?
I think defensively, it's, you know, it's just different. Like, it's not like it shouldn't be a big surprise here, but it's just different because we're not used to seeing the defense starting out hot like this. And to Tanner's point earlier, nobody should ever call for Spag's head, right? Because the guy fucking wins Super Bowls. So that's a fucking joke right there. But, you know, the fact that the defense is starting out hot, that's fucking amazing. I mean, Chris Jones is dominating his one-on-one matchups in his first game back. And in terms of the offense, I mean, we just need to clean up the turnovers. And the offensive line, I don't need any more low snaps. And, you know, Andy Reid says, you know, the penalties are going to be taken care of.
See, the offensive line, we all know Creed Humphrey is a great center, but a lot of people were saying it was come from sweaty balls was the issue, was that Mr. Creed is over there, leaned over the ball, you know, a lot of sweat on his fingertips, sweaty balls. And, well, it was 100-something degrees down there on the field, Tanner.
You practicing that.
I think it's easier to hike a cold ball than a sweaty ball.
You practice in the 100-degree heat during the fall. Tanner, you're telling me that we went up in St. Joe with 100+? No. Do you not remember the heat wave?
They went inside, Tanner. We did not have 100 degrees in St. Joe.
It was 100 degrees
in St. Joe. They went inside. It wasn't that bad.
No, I don't want to hear anything. You're telling me.
We had a really good St. Joe month.
Yeah.
Well, no, we had an amazing 100 degrees that one time. You guys don't remember that?
They went inside. First of all, it was
for 3 or 4 days.
Tanner, it was storming every day. Every day was a goddamn rainstorm, so they went inside. No,
dude. This is an issue if we're not practicing the 100-degree heat, because you're going to go down. Miami.
When has Creed Humphrey ever had that many low snaps in his career? Ever?
No.
Never.
I'm not buying it.
Sweaty balls.
I'm not buying it. That's excuses. I'm not buying it.
So what's wrong with him then, Tanner?
Nothing.
Why did Creed? Why was the snap so low?
Shit happens.
Just had a really bad game. Forgot how to snap a ball.
He can't have a bad game.
Of course he can.
There you go. Okay.
But you don't think there's maybe a reason for why he had a bad game?
No. I just think
it's just a random bad game.
Shit happens.
It's 120 degrees on the field. You got sweaty balls and you just
shit happens.
Can't get a good grip on it.
Shit happens. I don't know what to tell you. Bad games happen.
All right.
Well, whether it's weather related, whether it's sweat related, but it's a bad game.
Sweaty balls, you know.
You practice with it.
Whatever you want to call it. I just, you know, as long as the Chiefs just clean up the turnovers, like, it's not going to be a big deal, man.
That's the biggest key right
now. Our division is shitty right now. Okay?
Yes, it is.
The Chargers are shitty. And, like, yeah, we all believe in fucking Justin Herbert, but guess what?
Hey, what's up,
none of us believe in fucking Brandon Staley. So, I mean, we have a dog shit division. You know, when we first started before the season, we all talked about how much the Jacksonville Jaguars would have an edge over that whole fucking division. They'd probably be the one seed. Little did we know that the AFC West would be shittier than the fucking fucking division.
It is.
So it's like it's too easy for the Chiefs. And so I think we just need to clean up the turnovers, clean up the penalties. That's the name of the game. Like, the defense is gonna do what they do. And, like, let's just keep it rolling, man. Let's keep it rolling.
I mean, turnovers are the key. Turnovers are the key here.
Yeah, right now that is the problem, and that's something we're going to talk about. Turnovers across the entire NFL, as a matter of fact, is a problem here in a few minutes. But so as far as the Chiefs going forward right now, I mean, the receiving situation looks interesting because we have a couple of injuries to talk about, you guys. Injury report came out today.
Yeah. So you have
that in front of you, Tanner?
I got in front of me here. So today's injury report, you have Nick Bolton did not practice with the ankle. Willie Gay did not practice with the quad. Richie James, who is now indicated as being the one that's going to miss this week.
He's going to miss some time, guys. Probably
did not play with
2 to 3 weeks for Richie James, at least 2 to 3 weeks.
That's what I heard too. Yeah.
At least
Isaiah Pacheco, hamstring. did not practice. Kadarius Toney toe did not practice.
Which shocker. Big surprise. Kadarius Toney's injured again.
Le'Jarius Sneed with a knee, limited practice. Juwan Taylor with a shoulder. He had full practice. Nick Jones with a full practice on hand. Justin Watson, full practice.
So quick translation here. We can beat the Bears with our backups because the Bears are in turmoil right now. We're going to get some rest.
So they got Eddie Jackson with a foot injury. He did not practice today. Their safety.
And now is Eddie Jackson going to miss this game?
I think he might miss this game.
He's one of their better players on the defense without a doubt. But he's a playmaker, you guys.
He's the best one on the defense.
Man, if he misses this game,
Also, Darnell Mooney, who limited practice today with a knee injury. Right. So, and then Lucas Patrick, but that's not a big deal. So, yeah, you're looking at two injuries there. I mean, even with a healthy Bears team, we bring in Chenault full time, Tranquil, you know, fill in the Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, possibly.
The fucking Bears are tanking, dude. They're going to be tanking like Arizona Cardinals, dude.
Haven't the Bears lost about 13 games in a row? So, I mean,
it's not good.
I don't know if tanking is a excuse more than this. You suck.
Because you got to remember, yeah, too.
But if you suck, you might as well tank at the same time. Right?
There's a difference between Arizona and Chicago. Chicago at least went out and bought players. Arizona was selling players, right, for cheap. So, like, Chicago went out and improved the roster. DJ Moore trade.
Chicago's wanting to win games. Also, they want to prove Justin Fields can be a NFL quarterback. What we're seeing, I mean, we saw some highlights over the weekend, you guys. Justin Fields, to me, does not look like he's going to be the guy long-term because he's a good runner. He's a really good runner. I mean, he's got awesome leg work. The passing is an issue, and I don't know that we can overcome this situation right there. He had open targets multiple times in this previous game, held on to the ball just for no reason whatsoever, just other than just to hold on to it and take a sack. For no reason, just multiple guys open with a pocket right there in front of you.
Is he hijacking the coaching staff? Like, does he just want to get everybody fired? Because
the game is too fast for him right now. And then I know we're in year three for Justin Fields, but the game right now is too fast.
He just can't make the reach. I don't know if you guys know who the backup quarterback is. Back in the draft, there was this guy from Shepherd, quarterback. Very highly rated, really played during the combine, very highly scored as well. Didn't think you'd actually make a team. He is the backup for Justin Fields, Shepherd, quarterback, rookie. We might see him.
Who the hell are you talking about? Weeks. What's his name?
Tyson Bagent.
Yeah, I've never heard of that guy.
I remember seeing him in the combine because he was one guy I was trying to like look at when I was doing some of my rankings. And he looked like he was a pocket passer. Way different than Justin Fields.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to give it a shot here in a few weeks if it continues to be a down performance, but that's their backup.
They're not going to take away the job from Fields. They're going to let him do or die. At this point in his career, I mean, at some point you just got to let a guy realize his own fate. And so whether that's just kind of forcing him into a situation where, look, you go out there and, you know, if you're pretend like we're playing, you know, MLB, you got a starting pitcher out there who's stinking it up, gave up three bombs. It's the fourth inning. You know, let him sit out there a little longer. Say, hey, you can go fuck yourself and throw one more. How about you go throw one more? And you could do that or you could pull him. It's up to you, man. It's up to you as a manager to do that. And a lot of times whenever you have guys like especially a top tier early first round pick like Justin Fields, you just want to let him get out there, do or die, man. Go out there and put yourself in the fire and either shit your pants or you prevail. One or the other.
I just think it's a toxic environment there in Chicago. Like I think that coaching staff, When you're a guy like Justin Fields and you haven't had any continuity whatsoever since you've got in there, like at some point, don't you try to sabotage the organization and just be like, you know, this guy sucks. Maybe he's not on the same page as the coaching staff, which is why he doesn't want to throw to an open receiver. It doesn't make sense to me. If those guys are fucking open, and you just blatantly don't fucking throw it to them.
He doesn't see it.
But how do you know that, though? Like, how do you know that that's not on purpose?
Because his head's like this when he throws. He's looking all over the place.
But that could be shitty-ass coaching anyway.
Shitty-ass QB play.
It is shitty coaching. It is shitty coaching. It also doesn't mean that Justin Fields can't also be bad at the same time. So it's a little bit of both, in my opinion. This is not a Geno Smith situation. I think Justin Fields is a fine prospect. I liked what he had to provide as a rookie coming in as a guy you could mold possibly. Give him Andy Reid. He might have a really good career in the NFL. But give him the trash he's got to work with the Bears. I mean, you're probably going to fail. But, I mean, same thing with Geno Smith. If you gave Geno Smith the Jets, it never worked out. If you gave Geno Smith Andy Reid to begin with, might have had a really, really great career the entire way through up until this point. But Fields is just a different kind of prospect that came into the league when he was 20 years old, which is very young, and it's going to take a lot of time. He was not ready. He came in as a redshirt sophomore and was not ready to me to be in the NFL yet in a lot of ways. He went to the NFL because, I mean, shit, when you have an opportunity to go top 10, you take it. But to me, I think he's in a bad situation that could destroy his ego going forward, could destroy his morale going forward, which we see that happen all the time. But at the same time, this team actually has talent. This team has a good running back group overall. This team has DJ Moore now as a receiver. There's talent around him. The offensive line, what I saw over the weekend, is not great, but at the same time, he makes them look worse than what they are.
Yeah, they went out and they got a guy, Patrick or Lucas Patrick. They got Nate Davis from Tennessee, Green Bay. Went out and you went to the defense side. Got DeMarcus Walker, Andrew Billings, Justin Jones. Like, they went out and invested. Yannick Ngakoue, right? Is that how you say it? Ngakoue? Yeah.
We'll go with that, Tanner. We'll
did you
go with
say?
That,
did you say Nicaragua?
We'll go with Nicaragua.
I can't say this game, for God's sake. TJ Edwards, Jermaine Edmonds. It's not like they did invest in this team. Your issue here is the quarterback play.
Yeah.
Your issue here is where it's right. I don't want to. You can talk about coaching all you want. If your quarterback can't read a damn ball, can't read the damn field, and is staring at one guy, maybe look to the second while he runs.
And he's about to be in big trouble against the Chiefs defense, who right now is playing as a top seven defense in the entire league right now. He's about to be in big trouble, man. I do want to point out one thing. So we heard the news. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. Some very strange news today, as a matter of fact, about the Bears coaching situation.
The defensive coordinator
has been removed from his position due to some findings that was resigned. Now, here's the thing. I want you guys to understand. Charles Tillman,
yes,
is an FBI agent.
Yes.
I know you guys might think I'm bullshitting. Charles Tillman is and has been an FBI agent for a long time, actually, now. He is one of the people who did his own research and looked into what was going on with this certain coach. Even went to training camp at Bears camp as basically undercover to kind of blend in. But his reasoning was actually he was there on work-related business to look into the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, one who just got relieved today.
You've been watching some porn today, Mike, huh?
Well,
anybody watching some porn?
He might have been watching some prawn.
Allegedly.
But at the same time, he might have been watching some young children at the same time.
Allegedly.
And so that's the rumors going around. Fuck. Is that he had some pretty serious accusations.
Allegedly.
And, well, it's alleged, but at the same time, he's been fired and removed. So
no, he resigned. I keep telling you this. They said Tanner, he says he resigned, dude.
But Tanner, how much? Tanner, whenever the guy from...
I'm reading the report.
Tanner, what I'm saying. I've made a manager at a job one time
resign. So he resigned.
No, he did not resign. He was fired because of what I found out about him.
Until I see it says
he
fired.
Was resigned.
I'm reading the Tanner? Statements that were made. I'm not making my own
statements.
You
know what I'm saying.
Not making my own statements.
You know what I'm saying.
Not making my own statements.
Well, anyways.
Allegedly.
Anyways, I have a feeling this is going to be a trickle-down effect.
By the way.
Going forward.
Do you know what the weird part of this all is? If you go on any news sites, there was a deal right before one of the shows today, too. That the Bears defensive coordinator resigned due to health and personal concerns. It's what they said.
That reminds me of someone that I used to work with at one point that I had made resign.
I was that was interesting the way they put it. I'm like,
yes, of course.
I yelled something different, but that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, Charles Tillman is the one who knows the details
allegedly
of what's been really going down.
Yeah, I mean, how much more failures? Like, how much more of a shitty organization could you be a part of, you know, before we just say, you know, let's give Justin Fields the benefit of the doubt here. Right. Well, like, I know the two of you guys think that he's just a flat out shitty quarterback,
but this is only the second year for Matt Eberflus.
That's right? Fine. But like, there's no continuity in the organization. Now you got a guy watching porn on the clock. Like, at some point, do you not give Justin Fields the benefit of the doubt and say, like, dude, you were thrust into the wrong fucking organization? Not that you suck. It's just that you got a shitload of bad fucking people around you in that whole organization, offensively and defensively. So, like, I get what you guys are saying. Like, you know, as a quarterback, it's your job to make this thing work. But the fucking organization is a disaster. Okay.
It's a brand new organization. 2 years ago, they cleaned house and now they're back.
But none of them fucking drafted.
What are you guys talking about?
Games in a row.
What do you want them to do? Fire it again and go back at it?
None of them.
I talked about this last year about not drafting them and not being the guy that they want.
Exactly.
I talked about this last year. You guys looked at me like I was freaking nuts.
None of them fucking drafted him.
At the time last year, Tanner, I never wanted to give up on Justin Fields.
I know you didn't.
Why would you give up? I didn't want to give up on him this year.
The coaching staff didn't.
This year, we shouldn't give up on him.
Coach staff does.
I'm not giving up on Justin Fields.
When you come in as a new regime and you didn't draft the motherfucker, there's a disconnect there. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
If nobody wants to admit it, that's fine.
He's not his guy.
But now, when you're all of a sudden, your defensive coordinator is watching porn on the company computer, like that's a problem. You're as the starting quarterback of the Bears, your career trajectory is not going where you probably wanted it to go. And that's because you're in a trash organization. It's not because of your skill set. It's not because you're making bad decisions. Sure, we can sit there all day long and say, oh yeah, those guys were fucking open and Justin Fields wouldn't throw the ball.
So we're not holding the player accountable.
That's one fucking game.
We're not holding. That's one two, fucking game. Four, six. We could probably count on a hand.
Whatever,
over,
man.
Over our fingers,
it's
dude.
A fucking dumpster fire. The bottom line is it's a fucking dumpster fire
Stop
organization.
The damn coaches.
You fucking know it. You
I know it's
know
it.
You know it. It's a dumpster fire organization.
But you got to hold the player accountable sometime. It can't just be coaches.
Can I pull a Tanner real quick and just say everyone's wrong and everyone's right?
Everyone's
right. And everyone's wrong.
Gotta hold the player accountable.
Everyone's wrong and right at the same time.
You went through two different head coaches and you still suck.
I'm not gonna blame that quarterback for that motherfucking organization. That's long and short of it.
Because I'll hold them accountable.
Hey, the good news is, Jason, you will get to see Justin Fields with a different organization at some point in his career. I promise you.
Hopefully
that.
Next year.
Probably in the next 2 years, as a matter
hopefully
of fact.
Hopefully next year.
So you'll get to see him somewhere different at some point in his career. And I do have a feeling if he goes to the right place, you know, maybe the Vikings would like a guy like that after Kirk Cousins is done.
God, can you imagine?
You know what?
Could you imagine that? Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison getting thrown to and TJ Hockenson getting thrown to by Justin Fields, they'd all be demand trades.
Look,
they'd all demand trades.
All I'm saying is that's maybe an option as a quarterback like Kirk
Cousins. It sounds like a Vikings move.
It's a possibility.
It sounds like a Vikings move.
You know who's better than Justin Fields is Tavarius Jackson. Tavarius Jackson's better than Justin Fields.
The bottom line here is
it's true though.
It is.
When that happens and he goes to a different organization, it doesn't matter how good he is. He could be a superstar after that, or it doesn't matter how bad he is. The bottom line is that the fucking Bears will be responsible for ruining his career.
I got a couple,
doesn't matter what he does.
I got
after
a couple,
shit.
Couple cool stats for you. I'll give you one right now. Do you know who leads the Bears organization as their whole entire history with 300 plus games? That's the most they've ever had.
Sid Luckman. I don't know.
Who do you got, Jason?
Three 300 plus passing games
for a quarterback. Oh fuck.
Jay Cutler.
Nope.
Oh shit.
Kyle Orton.
Brian
Jim McMahon.
Hoyer. Brian Hoyer.
I don't even remember him playing for the Bears.
He did.
Jim McMahon.
And apparently, it was the year he played after Jay Cutler, and like week three or week four, week five,
you're saying
he got rocked by Clay Matthews and goes out for the season.
You're saying he had three 300-yard games?
Yeah.
Or am I misunderstanding what you're saying?
He was on a podcast talking about it.
So he had three 300-yard games. Is it in 1 year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, No. Overall, as a Bears
Tanner.
Hold on. I'll look it up real quick.
I think
Bears quarterback
Brian Hoyer holds a record.
I think you're full of shit.
Okay, the one you're trying to say right now though is not true.
Come on, look up their record.
He's trying to say Bears quarterbacks overall ever, they've only one guy's ever had three 300-yard games ever. Is what he's trying to say.
Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, but
Brian Hoyer holds a record for the Chicago Bears as a whole entire franchise.
Wow.
But not that. Yeah. That's not the number.
I feel it's something Tanner, dumb.
Jay Cutler it's definitely had dumb. Multiple, you feel more it, than three, 300
something
yard
stupid,
games.
Though.
You feel, what do you feel? You feel a turd coming out right now, or do you feel some right, actual?
We got to get off.
I'll look NFL at it knowledge. When I get it.
Tanner,
I'll
you look at that crap. All right, for all right,
moving right along. Guys,
let's move around
yeah,
for a second.
And it's tied for the most 300 yard plus passing games in only five games for Chicago. It's tied for the most 300 plus yards passing games in Bears season. So in a year.
In a season. Yeah, okay. That's what I was.
So Jay Cutler couldn't throw more than five. Season. So only threw five in his.
They've had years. Some shitty quarterbacks over the years. So
and he beat else. Them. He beat it. So he's actually has six games because before he got hurt by Clay Matthews. So he has six most. That's the most passing yards. 300+ yards
in 1 year.
In a season.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense
that's
to me.
Bad.
I thought
that's
you were bad. Trying to say as a career.
That's bad because
six.
It's bad that he holds that record, and you've had a shitball. Line of quarterback come through that organization the last four fucking decades.
That Jay Cutler is before that, and then some other guy I don't even know his name was back in like the 80s.
All right, let's give it one more minute, you guys. Get back on top of the Chiefs for a second here, because obviously we got Chiefs Bears coming up. So we obviously going into this game probably down Kadarius Toney, down Richie James, which means to me the receiving group is going to be really interesting. We're going to probably see. Once again, which I'm kind of not as happy these days. I don't like seeing Justin Watson as a starting receiver on this roster.
Sucks for you.
I liked him. Listen, I liked him as a WR5 last year. I liked him as a WR5. I do not want him out there every goddamn play in opening drives and, you know, being an actual targeted player for this offense. I want to see a lot more Rashee Rice. I want to see a little bit more Justin Ross, of course. I want to see Sky Moore do more than what he's done up until this previous game.
You're in Andy Reid's offense, dude.
You're
going to see Justin Watson.
Don't you guys understand?
You're going to see him a lot.
Don't you guys understand that they trust Andy trusts Justin Watson?
He does.
Whatever you hope, it doesn't matter. It's all about trust in this fucking.
You can wish in one hand, shit in the other hand, see which one's full.
You got the overpaid MVS, of course, who really is nothing better than a WR4.
I always forget he's on our team, dude.
Tanner, he's the highest paid receiver on his team. He's on our team. It's not even close. He's the highest paid. It's not even close. I mean,
all the time,
we're paying him like he should be putting up at least 1,000 yards a year. 1,000 yards in a 17 goddamn
legit,
game season.
Legit. If you were to ask me to list off the Chiefs receivers, I guarantee you I'll miss MVS.
Give me freaking Eddie Kennison on this roster right now, and we'll put up numbers. Give me Eddie Kennison. And Eddie Kennison was not a world beater. He was nothing special. He was a good receiver.
You know what I want? Give me somebody who's not going to fumble the ball.
Dwayne Bowe.
That's all I want. Somebody who's not going to fumble the ball.
You want Dwayne Bowe, don't you? I know you do. You want fucking Dwayne.
I'd take Dwayne. Don't get me wrong. In this offense.
I mean, right now with the receiving group you got, I'd take Dwayne. Just
do we want Snoop back?
Tanner, that's your, now you're going too far.
Snoop.
Wait. Snoop Huntley?
Snoop Minutes, dude.
I thought you were talking about Snoop Huntley of Baltimore.
We're gonna see a different kind of Chiefs offense this coming week, in my opinion, with Toney out, with Richie James, obviously, who doesn't play a lot of offense, but special teams wise, is gonna be out of the mix. Sky Moore is going to be active in this game a lot. We're going to see a lot of Sky Moore. It's going to be a growth game for Sky Moore, something that where we can get him involved a lot and maybe
here's your opportunity.
Show the hell up and be a big part of the offense based on the scheme of the game, not just coming open whenever a player breaks down, because I want to see you work within the system a little bit more than you have so far to this point. But no, for the most part, for me, I think this is going to be a big Rashee Rice game. I mean, Rashee Rice, to me, obviously, I was excited about the draft of him, the preseason, I thought I saw a lot of great things. I think this game in particular, Rashee Rice gets a lot of playing time, but I do not want Justin Watson getting in the way of too much of that.
Well, sucks to suck. He's here.
I know.
He's going to be involved.
I know, so. Tanner. We'll
I know
get
what
over
you
it
want, but it's going to be there.
He's not even a Mormon either.
Not a Mormon.
It's just weird.
All right.
What's your prediction? Let's go around.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the spread here for a minute, because it's KC minus 12.5, and we got all these injuries and fucking scandals on the Bears side, and nobody knows what the fuck's going to happen. I mean, at some point, do you guys see the opportunity here for a backdoor cover by the Bears in terms of like garbage time shit?
I don't think the Chiefs cover.
No. You don't think the Chiefs cover?
I'm with him.
You like the Bears to cover the 12.
I'm totally with him.
I think the way what we've seen from the Chiefs offense this last couple weeks, I think it's no more than 21, 24 points.
I like the backdoor cover, and I think it's going to be a 10-point game.
I disagree with you guys only because I think the defense is going to be so strong against such a bad O-line that they're going up against and a bad quarterback situation right now, an unconfident quarterback situation. The Chiefs also have not had a turnover or an interception so far yet for us this season either, which will happen in this game. What I see in this game is that offense is going to figure itself out a little bit more this week going up against a average to below average defense. Meanwhile, the defense is just going to absolutely go out there and wrath them. I mean, it's going to be an absolute destroyer.
One minute, Braden.
It's going to be an absolute destroyer out there. So to me, I mean, I'm seeing a game where the Chiefs put up at least 27. Bears probably score somewhere around 10. So I'm going to take the Chiefs actually to cover in this game. And this is not my easy money bet of the week, but I'm telling you.
No, hell no.
I believe in the Chiefs to cover the 12.5. You guys disagree.
You know, at some point, you know, if the referees are just trying to throw flags, if the Bears are that bad, this is a question I'm going to put to you guys. if the Bears are that bad, do the flags even matter? Like if the fucking refs just want to cover, if the refs want to cover and then they just start throwing flags all over the place, does it really even matter? Like, that's the big question for me. Like, I think Chicago is going to cover. But like at some point, this could be a shit show game. I mean, I just don't know if the Bears coming off of that scandal, when all of a sudden we have people inside of the organization watching child pornography,
allegedly,
like that's bad, dude. And at some point, 12.5 points is not enough. And I know I'm arguing against myself right now. But that's how much I think that the NFL.
You do this a lot.
But I'm telling you, this is how much I believe in the NFL's ability to fix the spread, and that's why I'm going with the Bears here to cover.
What's your score?
Oh fuck! I don't give a shit. Yeah, just give them 27-17.
Okay.
No, fuck it.
I gave the Bears a touchdown on mine.
27-10
is mine.
I'm going to go 31-17.
Okay.
No, 31-21.
Yeah. Ooh, you have the Bears scoring maybe 3 touchdowns?
That's a lot.
I don't see that at all. I don't see that at all.
Well, fuck. I don't give a shit.
Bears cover, but give me the score of like 21-10 or 24-13. That's it.
I just think the Bears are going to cover because there's no reason for them to. And that's when you're looking at these fucking spreads and shit. When the public goes all in on one side, which they're probably going to do on the Chiefs, that's the exact moment when you should probably bet against the public.
I legit hope like it.
This
like
is the Chiefs defense. This is the Chiefs defense going to put up, like as a team, they're going to have like 7 sacks.
This is a game where it should be 30-7 at most. 30-7. It should be.
I think it's going to turn to a preseason game. You put all the fucking scrubs in there. Jesus. And then they're fucking, and then the Bears cover.
We do got a question around Chiefs related too. Braden Ferguson, one of my Penn State guys, says Sky or James Cook in the flex. Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, without a doubt, you got to go with the reliable one, which to me is James Cook. Sky Moore had his first ever meaningful game in the NFL, first ever big game to where he actually did something for the team this past week. And it was awesome. He had 70. He led the other team after one big 53 yard play.
Yeah.
Three catches, 70 something yards.
Actually, I think I have it right here.
Three catches, 73.
Sky Moore with 3 receptions, 70 yards,
70,
23.3 average, 54 the longest, a touchdown, 4 targets.
So with that said, obviously you guys saw James Cook last week put up some big numbers, and that's going to be more of the usual because now that Devin Singletary is out of the picture, James Cook is the main man, and he can be lethal. So I think they're going to be using him a lot throughout the year. And to me, James Cook should be a focal point of that whole offense all year long for the Bills.
And I'll go with James Cook as well, because this is a big game for them. Like, this is an important game.
And he's a good receiver.
You look at the fucking Chiefs game, like, that, it's not that of a, it's not an important game. And like, Sky Moore just like, he might not be called upon to do that much at some point if it turns into a blowout.
I think Sky Moore has 7 targets in this game. So fair. Around 7 targets, just because of everybody being possibly out.
Sky Moore will have a few, probably, I could see him having 4 catches for
70 yards.
40 yards. Not even 70. I'd give him 40. 4 for 40.
Okay.
So I'd give him. So, I mean, if you're in PPR, it's 8 points. I wouldn't really rely on a touchdown. James Cook, on the other hand, I give him at least 3 catches alone, as your rushing.
He got
totals.
Me 20 points off that trade last week.
James Cook's going to get more volume, guys. Yeah. More volume and a better player.
And this is going to be a must-win game for the Bills. Your best players are going to do what they do. And so that's why I'd take James Cook over that.
Easy peasy.
I agree.
All right, guys. We got 2 more things to get to, of course, we got 1 thing before the easy money bet. But I just want to talk about for just a moment about what's going on in this whole league the first 2 weeks. Is this a coincidence? Is this a freak fluke thing? What is causing the NFL to be so sloppy through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season? Because I noticed it myself, just kind of paying attention to what's gone on in the league the first couple weeks. But the games themselves have not been crisp or sharp whatsoever. And I started to dig into it a little bit. And what I found was that we have had 87 total turnovers in the first 2 weeks of the NFL. That is 87 turnovers in 32 games played in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season so far this year, which is a little under 3 turnovers per game total, which is just, to me, just insane. That number, that amount of turnovers in a professional sport in 32 games played is just wild to me. And Patrick Mahomes, even, you know, himself has had 2 big interceptions now so far, which is unlike him in the month of September. You guys all know about Mahomes' month of September statistics and, you know, how perfect he was up until the last, you know, really this year and maybe last year at some point. But I mean, what I'm seeing right now is we're watching all these games and we saw this crazy fumbling everywhere. Chiefs had 3 turnovers lost against the Jaguars. The Vikings are making a mess of themselves on the field at times too. I mean, all these teams, no one's playing sharp football right now. And I wanted to see if you guys had a theory maybe about why this is, or, you know, 87 is a big number. Well, if turnovers in 2 weeks worth of football, where's this coming from? Do you guys have an idea about this?
You're not going to believe what I have to say right now, okay? But
never do. What you got?
Salaries get bigger and bigger every single year. It doesn't matter if you're an NFL football player or if you're in my industry, Mike or Tanner's industry. Like, we all have inflation. We have to deal with that shit, but salaries go up every fucking year. And the NFL is no exception. When your salaries go up, the payrolls go up. It does take a little while, as we all know in the NFL, like we don't see the best football played in weeks 1 and 2.
Correct.
Like that's a fact. We all know that.
This is worse than normal.
It's worse. Absolutely. But when the salaries go up, okay, on average, not talking about running backs, they suck. But for all of the other positions in the NFL, your salary goes up. Well, what you're most likely to do in the offseason is to get high and drunk, okay? Because hear me out, Tanner. When you're getting a shitload of money, okay, and all these NFL players, you can talk about any fucking sport. I don't care. NBA. But the NFL players are making more money now than they ever had in the history of the NFL because of inflation, because of, you know, whatever you want to say, collective bargaining agreements going to be different. We all make more money. You just saw that fucking Joe Burrow contract. Okay. Motherfucker's injured. He can't even pull, you know, I mean, he can't even do shit right now because he's hurt. All of these salaries are going up, okay? So when your salary goes up every year, just think of this in terms of your own mindset, in terms of your own job every year. if your salary goes up every year exponentially, what are you most likely to do in the off season? You're probably going to get high and drunk. You're probably going to have a great fucking time. And guess what? Bombshell, you're probably going to have a fuckload of turnovers in weeks one and two. Okay. Not a big fucking surprise. Everybody. And I'm not trying to like come down on these guys, right? They make a lot of money. I would do the same thing in their shoes. Okay. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys and be like, oh fuck. Well, they should have some responsibility in life. No, fuck that. They're making a fuckload of money. They want to have a great fucking time in the off season. And why shouldn't they? That's exactly what the fuck they did. It's probably why Joe Burrow's injured right now, because he knew that big shit contract was coming along. Probably the same reason why Justin Herbert hasn't won any fucking games yet. And meanwhile, you've got these other players like fucking Jordan Love, who's playing out of his mind. He doesn't have that fucking contract. So it's, you know, it's all about like who has their contract, who doesn't. And if you've got your fucking contract, do we really give a shit about weeks one and two? Probably not, because we got hammered in the fucking off season, and we're probably still hammered right now. And we're going to clean that shit up. We're going to clean that shit up going forward in weeks three, four, five, six, and what have you, because we're paid. This is the reason why we're paid, to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. To your point, Jason, the NFL at least did stop drug testing for the most part when it comes to marijuana.
They did.
So
high and drunk.
Do you think that they're just, you know, we all heard about what's his name, Josh Gordon. You know, every game, you know, he would have a couple shots or whatever before every game. And so he played every game high and drunk, but he was really good at it. Maybe some of these players are not as good at that as others, because some are not professional drunks. You know, some are not professional. What was the other thing I was going to say? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Some are not professional. You can't go get high before every game. And so that's why you laughing. That's my whole point. So some of these, like Kadarius Toney, for instance, probably one of those guys that probably should not be getting high and drunk before games. I think we learned that week one. If he's sitting there in his locker, you know, on the way to the stadium, and he's got a couple shots in his hand or smoking a doobie, I mean, probably not the kind of guy that could be handling that kind of thing. You're not Josh Gordon. You're not special. Marshawn Lynch did the same shit.
Switch to the Viagra.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
It's all about the shield, guys. It's all about the product of the NFL, and it's all about contracts. So what did we see? What was it? 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Aaron Rodgers literally said, I'm not going to win the MVP this year. Why did he say that? Because he did not get vaccinated, and he wasn't wearing a mask. Missed. What did he miss? One game?
Yes.
One or two games. He point blank said, I am not going to win this MVP this year. And what happened? He won the fucking MVP 2 fucking years in a row, because it's all about the shield. It's all about the best fucking players being on the field. So we don't really care. Like if I'm Roger Goodell, if I'm Jerry Jones, if I'm the fucking owners, I don't really give a fuck what they do in the offseason. I want the best product on the field. And that's exactly what you got to do. Like these guys get their contracts. Let them get high and drunk in the offseason.
But
let them do what they want to do.
There's a lot of them that are doing it now during the season. I think that's now the situation we're looking at.
Well, that's a problem. That's
why
a problem.
This number could be so inflated this year compared to normal, knowing that they're not doing the same drug testing they had before, is that you can go out there high and drunk if you want, and no one's going to know. And, you know, so what if you fuck up?
I don't think that they're doing it during the season. I just think it spilled over into the preseason a little bit more so than it did in previous years, because the salaries are a little bit higher.
This is a great topic because this is a thing that ESPN would never talk about.
No, they wouldn't.
No, you would never
hear the balls.
They'd be never hear it.
Fox Sports 1, all those fuckers would never once talk about the idea that possibly players are actually getting more intoxicated before games than ever before.
And that's fine. You know, these guys, they make more money than ever before. They deserve more money than ever before. But with all of that money comes responsibility. And so how are you going to treat that responsibility? Are you going to get high and drunk 2 weeks later than you did last year? Okay, well, that's your fucking decision. I mean, but at some point, you've got to perform on the field. And I just feel like a lot of these guys that already have their contracts don't really give a shit. Like,
hasn't this felt like an extremely sloppy opening to the NFL season? So every team is sloppy as hell right now.
So you mentioned it's because they don't give a fuck.
Well, for me, I'd like to see break out some stats of when we had 4 preseason games. When you had the offense, the starters generally in 3 games leading up to the 4th versus 2 games, you know, maybe a series on the 3rd one now, but a lot of teams don't do that, or they wait till the 3rd game. Now, I like to see the stat breakdown of between 4 and 3 to see how well weeks 1 and 2 went. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that too. I thought about the same thing. Curiosity. So before even any idea behind maybe substances could be put in play, I thought about the same thing, is that now we're down to 3, which I thought the teams did not use the preseason to their advantage this year.
I think, I agree.
I watched as many preseason games as I could. I watched as many as I could. I didn't watch all of them, of course, but I thought I noticed that teams were not using it to their full advantage.
Yeah,
I really did feel that way during the preseason. So to me, I thought that maybe is an issue. And I don't think the teams also know going into each week what they want to be doing. Also, there's the cut down factor.
I was about to say the cuts thing changed because you can't cut anybody until after the 3rd preseason game.
There's a lot of going on. But is that really going to impact the starters on the field who are making all these mistakes? Because that's my problem, is that we got a bunch of guys right now that are bona fide superstars, whatever you want to call them.
If you play only one series on the 3rd, in the 3rd game, and right?
I mean, yeah, one series, week. Well, some teams don't do this. Andy Reid always has a thing.
Does it different.
Andy Reid has a thing where, you know, week 1, the starters really don't play at all. Week 2, they'll play one series. Week 3 in preseason, they'll play maybe up till the beginning of the 2nd quarter.
Yeah,
is how that goes. But no, I just thought in general the teams haven't figured out how to yet use the 3-week schedule instead of the 4, but same time, I feel like a lot of teams right now are underprepared.
Still got all those guys on the roster. That's the issue.
I can make a case that when we went from 4 to 3 in the preseason, that it became a little bit of a write-off, and people just didn't take it as seriously. Like maybe that's not what happened, but you know, Aaron Rodgers, He was kind of the ringleader in terms of not really giving a shit about the preseason. And now all of a sudden from 4 games down to 3, like
in the past Aaron Rodgers is not a turnover guy. He doesn't turn the ball over and never has. And that's never been his thing. But we're seeing, like I said, across the league, 87 turnovers in 2 weeks. So we're averaging almost 3 turnovers per game.
I don't think it's going to last. It's
crazy, man. It's not going to last, but to begin the year, this is wild to me.
Let me throw the top 10 out for you, right? Top 10, just on interceptions from a quarterback. Number 1's the Jets, which is Wilson, with 4. He played the Cowboys last week. We obviously saw it happen. He also made some bad decisions.
But the fumbles too, Tanner, not just
interceptions. I know. I'm just telling you the interception part. We just break down a little bit.
We just saw the Steelers, TJ Watt, at the end of the game, recovered that fumble to return. The Steelers won the game.
The Bills sitting with 3 from Monday night. Right from that Monday night game against the Jets,
Josh
Tannehill,
Allen.
Field, Pickett, Jones, Garoppolo, Tua, and Stafford, and then finally Deshaun Watson. That's your top 10 interceptions there. Yeah. And
that's just interceptions. Fumbles are more of an issue right now too, though. Is this a coaching thing at all?
Your turnover, offensive turnovers percentage. Drives ending in a turnover?
I think it's a coaching issue.
Vikings, Raiders, Jets, Browns, Bills.
To answer your question, I think
Vikings more recently. This past game was crazy.
Hold on to the damn ball, Kurt.
It's a coaching issue for Josh Allen.
Madison, which is why you had a bunch of racists out there yelling at him.
Yep, so. I forgot about that one.
it's a coaching issue for Josh Allen because he can't turn the ball enough. He loves it.
Stop it. It's not coaching for Josh Allen. Focus on accountability. Blaming the coaches here.
Listen to me. Ever since Brian Daboll left Josh Allen,
I think you're both wrong.
But we thought it was over. We thought it was over last year and that he could clean that shit up. And then he didn't clean it up.
His year,
Josh Allen is a shit show.
I will repeat from what I said last
fucking turning the ball over.
His year was the 13-second year, and that's it. He is not. I consider him outside of my top five QBs right now.
That's fine.
Tim. Right now, that's fair.
We're just talking about turnovers going into right the season. Now.
I don't like him as a quarterback right now.
When you have 40 something turnovers now in the last 2 years?
2 years now.
41 turnovers
ever since the 13-second game. Chiefs broke him.
It's a lot.
Chiefs broke him just like they broke Deshaun and Baker.
He's pulling some Jay Cutler type moves.
I'm just saying that fucking Buffalo offensive coordinator must be shitty.
Yeah,
he's got to be a fucking shit show.
That's why he sits in.
How could you ruin a quarterback that's that fucking good?
Didn't ruin a quarterback. That's Josh Allen's play. That's how Josh Allen does.
He's ruining his ass.
No, he's not.
He's gonna ruin him.
All right, let's get real quick to a couple of comments on here.
We got
for the end.
Safe out here. What's up? Thank you, Safe, for commenting in. Goes, do I trade Stevenson, Christian Kirk, Joe Burrow, Hunt? Wait, I think he confused himself with Burrow, but for
confused the question already
for Burrow. Most
do I trade?
But would you like just say take Joe Burrow out? Would you trade Stevenson, Kirk, and Hunt for Mostert, Judy, and Zay?
Hold on, is this? I got to read this whole question. Do I trade?
Don't Stevenson, read the Burrow part.
Christian Kirk, Burrow, Hunt for Burrow. So ignore the Burrow.
Ignore the Burrow
part at the beginning
because that's irrelevant right now
for Burrow. So we're saying Stevenson, Kirk.
And Hunt
for Burrow, Mostert, Judy, Zay.
Yeah. No.
Probably wouldn't do it.
No.
I wouldn't fucking do it.
I wouldn't do that.
No shot, Zay.
Yeah, we're going to say
I wouldn't even do it if it was so Burrow on either side.
If we're assuming this guy has Stevenson, Kirk, and Hunt right now, I say keep your Stevenson and Kirk no matter what. I don't really care about Kareem Hunt too much right now, but yeah, definitely stick with what you got with Stevenson and Kirk at least.
Yeah.
The Burrow, Mostert, Judy. I mean, I
don't want none of that. Not for that. For that cost.
I don't know. Just to me, it just doesn't make sense.
Stick where you're at. Yeah. Dave, here's up, Dave. Thanks for tuning in. Man, I'm so freaking high. What are we talking about today, folks? Cough, cough.
Yeah. Remember, Tanner, I sat here and I was like, wait, I forgot what I was talking about.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
You know?
Dave also says definitely coaching issues for Fields. Nah, dude, just bad play, just bad player.
Tanner,
he said so.
Tanner,
Mariano, thanks for tuning in. Hello, should I propose?
Coaching is an issue for Fields, as well as Fields can also be.
That's fine. It's bad. Both. Okay, it's both.
We can get that.
Mariano said, "Hello, should I propose a trade for ETN?" Depends what you're giving up. Depends what they want for him. I think it's all. It also depends what type of league you're in and everything else.
Now, my main question, I have a lot of questions then for that case. I mean, what is your infatuation with ETN? What is it you find about him that's special? Do you think he has great upside? Do you not be concerned about some of his history?
There's a lot of stuff
usage in his history. I mean, like, what kind of trade would you even consider proposing? I mean, there's a lot that goes into the idea that should I trade a guy away? You've got to have a lot of questions of your own about why I want this player and why I should be targeting a certain player.
Yes,
I have my own. Whenever I do mine, I also look at other teams. So if never, it's like, let's say Tanner had Travis Etienne on his team, I'm gonna look at his roster from top to bottom. I'm gonna see what is his weakness and how does my team now benefit him. And yes, we have to think unselfishly as fantasy players here from time to time when it comes to trades, because he's not gonna just take a trade that doesn't make sense for his roster. He also he knows his own holes on his roster. If what you have fits what he needs in some kind of way, and you have a target for a guy like ETN, you can make that deal get done. Absolutely. Just a matter of you guys have to mesh well. I have guys all the time to me will text me or send me things and trades that they're wanting to know, like, would you give up this or that player? I'm like, well, let me look at your roster. If it doesn't match up, it doesn't match up. And I'll tell them later on, I'm like, no, we can't do a deal, man. Our teams don't match right now. We don't fit. So I tell him you got to find a new trade partner because I can't work with you, man. And so that's how I do my business when it comes to trades.
I agree. Yeah, I'm with it. We had no more context with it. All right.
That's right.
Are we ready?
All right, guys. Last segment of the day. Here we are. Can you give us our easy money? The easy one.
easy money bet of the week.
That's right. It's when we're here to make you guys some money, of course. Like we said earlier at the beginning of the show, we are at 70% as a crew right now for our easy money picks of the week. And guys, we have some great, awesome, fun news for you guys. We have a for the show. We have BetStamp. Thank you guys so much for coming in and joining along with us at BetStamp. BetStamp is an awesome tool to use for basically collecting. You might be able to explain this even better than I do. Collectively putting all your bets in one place to make the right selection on the right betting app.
You can track. You can shop lines. You can shop prop bets. You can see lines, trends, a whole bunch of stuff there on BetStamp. So that's the big key of it. You can also track, of course, your bets like you would on most sites, though.
And you can follow other users as well, see what they're tracking as well, and see what their bets are right now. And it's fun to be able to way to see who's doing well, who has a good ROI on each other bets that they're making along the way. So that way you know who to keep following, who to stop following, who's having a successful year, who's not. So
it's a good app. Use it on my 4:30 p.m. Central on Let's Talk Sports, the Let's Talk Bet show. We pop up the screen, show the line, see what everybody's looking at. So it's actually a pretty handy app.
You're going to send us to the JG or you're going to shut the fuck up or what's going on here?
Yeah, let them know, man.
Guys, sports betting has rapidly risen in popularity. And I want to connect you all with an opportunity to get started or get ahead. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the most simple way to maximize your profits. And there has never been a better time to sign up. When you visit my page, signupexpert.com/buffoons, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. All of these sports books have valuable signup offers for new users. And when you register through my link, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one. When you use multiple sports books, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful sports betting. If you want to take advantage of these benefits and support our brand, please consider signing up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/buffoon.
Love, Jeremy.
There we go. All right, guys. Well, we got to make our picks right now.
All right, let's get a recap going real quick here. For week two, recap, JG went Seahawks +5.5. They ended up winning that game. Got that dub.
Fuck yes.
Mike out here with the Dallas Cowboys, New York Jets over the 38.5. Got that dub. Over to me here. I had a few more bets, of course. We had Dallas Cowboys -9 covering the spread. Dub. Addison over 39.5 reception yards. Dub. And the disappointment of the freaking weekend. And Mike can attest to this one because he liked it too. And we watched it. K-State, -4.5, losing to a 61-yard field goal to the Mizzou Tigers.
Yeah, I did have money on that myself. It was not my easy money bet, but I did.
It went down to 3.5, dude. 3.5.
Yeah.
And I took 4.5, 4, and 3.5. So ended up losing a good chunk right there. But, hey, bounce back week three, week four in NCAA. Let's get back into it, guys. JG, kick us off.
All right, guys. I'm looking at that Buffalo at Washington game. Buffalo is favored by 6.5. Nobody respects Washington. Buffalo's coming off of that win. But I'm looking at this home dog disrespect of Washington. And so I am going to give you guys this easy money, Washington.
Commanders +6.5?
Plus.
Love it, dude. I love this pick.
All right, that's big time, man. Absolutely, I love that. I got a special one for you guys. So I sat there and I molded over throughout probably an hour or so myself. Couldn't come up with a good one that I really trusted on my easy money picks of the week. So I put together a little parlay for you guys. And I know some people hate parlays, but some people love parlays.
Who parlays them, dude? We're betting.
We're betting. This is going to get you even money. So whenever you put down $10, it's going to win you $10. So we got on this one, Jaguars money line over the Houston Texans combined with the Detroit Lions money line over the Atlanta Falcons. That's all you need. Take the Jaguars, take the Lions, both money line. That is the parlay. That is the pick. It's going to get you even money. So if you want to put 100, you're going to win 100. If you want to put 10, you put win 10. So I just, guys, I always want to give you guys my truest feelings and thoughts when it comes to our easy money picks of the week. And I sat there and I really had a hard time believing in a pick, you know, and I had a great record last year. You guys know that. I was probably 75% winner last year, somewhere around that range. This is the one for me that I felt the most comfortable with giving you is a two-pick parlay of both these winners.
Jason, big shit value.
Do you have another one at all or no?
That's the one, man.
All right.
Go all in.
As always, I give you a player prop. We give you an NFL pick and then a college pick. So let's go player prop first. On Thursday night, guys, 49ers going playing against the New York Giants. Disaster this is going to be. Give me C-Mac, Christian McCaffrey, over 17.5 attempts carried rushing for Thursday night there. Friday night, Air Force San Jose State play. Give me the over on 47 points scored there. Air Force and San Jose State like to put up a bunch of points and not play defense. So Air Force is really good this year, too. Then finally, give me the Rams on Monday night, plus 2.5 on the spread there. Get it while it's hot. It's about to switch.
You're not going to bet on Deion Sanders to cover that shit?
Oregon covers their shit against
the Oregon team. Covers.
No,
Oregon to cover.
No, wow. Hunter. No, Hunter.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not. It's not official. It's not official. Not official. No Travis Hunter. And that's going to be Shadeer Sanders with everything on his back going against a really good Oregon team.
I see Tanner's point.
It's a 21 point spread, which is big. Colorado's about to enter up against a really, really good team, though.
Is somebody in the Tanner's point is there. Somebody in the referee's pockets, though? That's the most important thing you got to look at.
You think Neon Dion would ever do that?
No, I don't think so.
Some money in the referee's pockets.
I think it's too much pride.
No, but the bookies in Las Vegas have all the money, dude. No, they can get some money in there.
I mean, I think it's going to be starting a really good game, but I think the better team prevails towards the third, fourth quarter.
So Colorado has no chance to win.
No, they had a chance. They got a good team. They got a lot of energy. But Oregon
not with the injuries, though.
No,
not with the
injuries. That's what kills them is Travis Hunter.
So they're going to lose the game. The question is by how much?
I assume 3 touchdowns. Or 4 touchdowns.
It's tough,
touchdowns.
Man. I want to pick
21.5 look spread.
So I want to pick Colorado to cover, but it's in Oregon and
Bo Nichols, or was it Bo Nichols?
Bo Nichols sucks.
Bo Nichols.
He
sucks. He was looking good, though.
Nah, he's a shitty quarterback. I'm serious.
He's a shit.
For college, he's good right now.
Whenever he goes pro, I can't wait for that fucking day.
It's going to be not pretty, dude.
He's a shitty quarterback.
So there was the other game. I'll ask you guys real quick. The other game I was debating between the Rams instead of the Rams was the Titans at plus 3.5 going against the Browns. It's in Cleveland. No Chubb. Hunt's not going to be really much of a factor yet.
Titans are 3.5.
Titans 3.5. Really good defense. They beat the Chargers last week.
See, the lines Vegas set for this week's games are great.
They are.
They're really good. They're really tough. I don't like them. That's why I went the parlay guys on the money line, because I didn't trust the lines. They're too many good lines. Vegas knows what they're doing this week.
Yeah.
They're riding you close.
The NFL lines are spot on.
And you guys know what? I'll pick out certain lines that I think are way off. This week in particular, I've looked
pretty close
across all the lines, and I'm like, I can't pinpoint one that stands out to me.
That was my other one. Was just
I'm being honest, guys.
But I'm going to go Rams 2.5. They got Riddick Akers today, which is a big distraction gone from whatever the hell happened on Sunday with that one. So Rams 2.5, Air Force, San Jose State over 47, C-Mac with over 17.5 carries, and then Mike with the Jags, Lions, money line parlay, and JG with the Commanders plus 6.5. We are sitting at 70% total as a win percentage of a group. So get in while you can. Make sure you, unlike the parlay here, we normally suggest you guys bet these straight up and don't parlay this. So
normally
parlay at your own risk.
I am, like I said, I also say straight up at your own risk, because the Vegas lines this week are great. So to me, taking the money line for these two winning teams is the way to go.
That's our by the way, for our sports books as well.
By the way, Cleveland's going to win that fucking game. They're not going to cover, but they're going to win that.
That's the idea.
That's the fucking money line.
That defense is really good for Tennessee. guys, we do got a couple comments before we wrap this thing up here. Mariano got back to us. He says it's his first NFL season, fantasy season. He went three wide receivers first three rounds of the draft, so he feels comfortable with his wide receivers. He plans on giving James Conner and Ayuk, but he's not sure if he if I match the trade or I give too much. If you're getting Conner and Ayuk for ETN, you better be getting another decent piece back for it in that.
All right. So I missed part of that.
So basically he did three receivers in the first three rounds of his first NFL.
That sounds like my kind of guy.
Okay. He wants to give the offer is James Conner and Ayuk for ETN and I assume another piece.
Nah.
I wouldn't do
that. Nah, just roll with Ayuk. First of all, keep Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is a great receiver. Also coming up on a contract year where he's going to put up big numbers all year long. Debo Samuel, guys, it's kind of funny about Debo Samuel. Do you guys realize he's only had 12 career touchdowns in his entire career? Debo Samuel. Receiving-wise. I know I said
12. He sucks.
12 career receiving touchdowns.
Well, that's because his big year came out of the backfield.
But he's still used everywhere at this point. My point is,
well, he wasn't last year.
As a pure receiver, Brandon Ayuk is actually better than Debo Samuel.
Correct.
People don't realize that. Brandon Ayuk should be a focal point piece of your offense for this entire season going forward. Also, he's very trustworthy with Brock Purdy. So, to me, you hold on to Brandon Ayuk no matter what right now.
Keep James Conner. He's getting all the carries. Keep Brandon Ayuk. He's going to be the guy. Don't trade for ETN like that.
The bottom line with Ayuk is
ETN infatuation is weird to me.
It is.
The thing about Ayuk is like that shoulder injury that he's got right now is not very serious at all. So you got to keep that in mind. It's like,
I'm too worried
about it. Don't overreact.
Jeremy, I hear, damn, congrats to the kicker, but damn. He says Washington should win, Izzy. Jeremy also says Allen has been horrible on the road lately. Granted, he has. We'll have to see what happens here. He's asking in fantasy, do you go Herbert or do you go Goff?
I mean, traditionally, you want to go Herbert.
I mean, Herbert has zero interceptions, zero turnovers.
Yeah, let's see. So
something stupid.
So let's look real quick at the matchup real quick. So we got Goff against the Falcons, who Falcons are, by the way, 2-0, surprisingly enough.
They are. Well, they faced a shitty Green Bay team last week. So.
And then, of course, Herbert has the Vikings. I think that, in my opinion, the Vikings game is going to be so close that Herbert is going to be staying in passing mode no matter what. I think the Goff situation with the Falcons, I could see that potentially if things fall their way correctly, getting away earlier. But I think Chargers Vikings is going to end up being a shootout.
Yeah, and I'd go Herbert. Game, I'd go Herbert in this one.
I'm going to go Herbert because I think a shootout's going to be prevailing there in Minnesota.
Yeah. Cool, guys. Wraps up our comments.
There we are. Well, glad we got it in. I'm glad we got to discuss our feelings for the night. I'm going down to Branson this weekend, so I'll be busy, of course.
Oh,
won't be watching a whole lot of football or anything, but I mean, it's my girlfriend's birthday weekend, so
it's a great family. It's a great family town.
Let me give you guys my last stat I wanted to throw out to you that I heard today. Tom Brady has never played a snap where he's out of playoff contention in his career.
Where he's out of
contention.
That makes sense. Oh, shit.
No, that makes sense.
Crazy.
How crazy is that? I thought the same thing.
But is that how different? But is that to me, that's not.
They've never been out of contention.
Never out of
contention. That's not very different from the fact
that. He's never been on a bad team.
Correct.
That's not different to me from the fact that Michael Jordan never played a game 7 in the NBA Finals because he never let it get to that point. In fact,
there's
Jordan was better. Jordan was better.
There's a total difference.
No, it's not.
Bulls early in Jordan's career were out of playoff contention. Patriots never out of contention.
If you got to have a really bad year to be out of contention in the first place,
dude. Correct. If you're undefeated,
it's not that big of a deal.
And you never even let the other team get to a chance.
We're not
to beat
talking
you.
Finals and playoffs. We're talking regular season.
Same fucking thing.
No, it's not the same.
Yes, it is. Fuck Tom Brady. I don't give a shit.
You love
He's
Tom Brady.
He's out of the league, man.
You love Tom Brady.
I don't like him more than Jordan.
Don't talk like that.
I don't like him more than Jordan.
We know.
Well, after that last Super Bowl Tom Brady won, I think you were debating it in your own head.
It's on, dude. It's all fucking documented. Tom Brady said the whole time that he was chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan.
So. I got a show for you to go on, by the way. a show.
Well, for he you. Has more rings, so
I got a show for you.
He does have more rings, but is he undefeated? That's the main question.
In the NFL, that's not possible.
Undefeated is more important.
In the NFL, you can't go undefeated. Yes. You can't go 6-0 in the NFL. It doesn't work that way.
You could if you were good. You were a good fucking quarterback.
No one's ever done that, Jason.
Mike, what you could do is you could retire for 2 years or a year when you're supposed to lose it and then go back so you can win it again. So
That's what Jordan did. That's
exactly what Jordan did.
I'll put it this way, dude. I'll tell you what. If Tom Brady was 7-2, then I would make that equal to Jordan's being
he lost
undefeated.
To Eli Manning twice. He was the better
when
Manning.
You're seven, when, yo, now I'll give you that. He is the better Manning. And he should be in the Hall of Fame.
No, he should.
But fucking, you know, when you're 7-2, if Brady was 7-2, then we could have the discussion between him and Jordan. But that's not going to happen, man. The motherfucker
Brady,
was 7-4.
Brady didn't retire enough.
It's two different sports. It doesn't work
probably
the same
equal,
way,
man.
Hey, how about this? Give Tom Brady a 7-game series of all these NFL games he played in the Super Bowl. Guess who's going to win all those fucking games?
That's true. Tom Brady does win those.
He's going to win every one of them.
Bullshit.
He does win.
I think they're
Eli
equal, man.
Eli's not going to get lucky that many times.
Yeah, Eli.
Fucking David Tyree with a ball in his head.
Eli Manning yeah. is the better Tanner, Manning by far.
Give Tom Brady a 7-game series.
Peyton Manning in the NFL. Shit.
He doesn't lose.
He beats them 4-1.
Single one.
4-1.
He literally wins every single Super Bowl.
Eli Manning.
In a 7-game series.
Yeah.
Eli Manning was a better quarterback in the playoffs than Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning didn't do shit in the playoffs. Jesus. Like, he relied on the fucking defense.
Anyways, guys.
Let him keep rambling while we close out the credits.
Guys, please make sure you like, subscribe, follow. Sign up for your sports books below if you're looking to place some bets.
LeBron James is the GOAT. LeBron
Take your easy
James.
Money bets of the week when you're
talking about LeBron.
And I'm looking forward to next week, you guys. I'm excited, of course.
Talk about LeBron.
This is the highlight of my week. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know,
it's a good time.
Highlight of my week.
Talk about the GOAT.
Come over here and say a bunch of things and win you guys some money and go home. With all that said.
Yeah. I'll see the Dame news.
God damn it. What? Shut the fuck up, Tanner. You got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. I'll see y'all in the next one.
You guys want to play for Golden
State? Oh, true. Credits.